So we are here today for a Port of Tacoma budget and financial position presented by Aaron Colano and David Morrison. And we are looking forward to a review of our financial situation. And really, again, as I said, appreciate your being here to do this today. So please take it away.
Thank you, commissioners. We put this presentation together, and I'm going to start with the summary. I'm learning after all these years of starting telling you what you want to know at the end, and then we'll go through how we got there. So we put this together for comparing the budget, which you reviewed.
We will proceed there. So we are here today for a Port of Tacoma budget and financial.
I think he needs to put himself on mute. Don Meyer, can you put yourself on mute? That we're getting all that feedback here.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Thank you. If you'd like to speak, you can take it off mute.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to look at three sets of numbers, two which I put in this table. The budget, which you approved in November, but really started back in August timeframe. And then an update that will reflect 2018 results and changes to the deal that's being reviewed for the North Harbor from compared to last August and September timeframe. So we've looked at six or seven main things. Beginning cash in 2019, and under the budget it's $200 million, and under the update it's $220 million. So 2018 results came in better, and we underspent on some projects. And I'll get to the details there. In terms of our total capital for 5 years from 2019 through 2023, we've gone from $344 million to $354 million. Again, what's happened is the projects that were supposed to end in 18 have moved into 19. Okay. Our total borrowing based on the two scenarios is going from $1.2 million. When I talked to you about the budget, we thought we'd have to borrow about $1.2 million in 2023, which is not a lot of money. To with this new scenario, we don't have to borrow any money to maintain our minimum cash position. Then our cash above minimum in 2023 was zero when we did the budget because I had to borrow. But in this new update, I've got about $12 million more cash above minimum. And then the revenue bond capacity at 2x. And let me explain this. This looks at our availability to go borrow cash at 2x and pay the mortgage. And it takes out our existing commercial paper. So we have commissioning. So in the original budget, it's $89 million. In the update, it's $56 million. And really what's that driven by is a reduction in revenue in 2023, because back when we did the budget, we assumed that phase two would start in 2023. Under the current thought, it won't start until 2024. So when that revenue starts in 2024, which is outside that five-year range, when you have that extra revenue, you can have additional borrowing. Okay, so that's why we see the drop. And then our debt service coverage. This is our fully diluted revenue bond debt service coverage. So it's all our revenue bonds, it's all the swaps, it's the payment. Our budget had us have 2.5x coverage. So if we had a debt payment of $10 million, we had $25 million available. That's the 2.5. Here we have, if in the example, $10 million, which is not, I wish it was, it's 30, but I'm using numbers that are simple to multiply, then we would have $23 million. So that's the 2x, okay? The commission has a policy of 2x debt service coverage ratio, okay? Our bond covenants at the senior level is 1.35. Our bond covenants at the subordinate level is 1x. Okay. But fully diluted puts all the debt in, and we says we want to be able to pay our debt after paying all our expenses at least twice. Okay. So that's the summary of what I'm going to get to. And then I'm going to show some walls of numbers and try to focus on this because I wanted to show you all the details. So this is a page you saw back in October and November when we were reviewing the plan of finance for the Port of Tacoma. And this is a profit and loss statement, okay? So it's got non-cash items such as depreciation, okay? And one, I've put a box in red around two sets of lines. Commission has had the policy of 2x debt service coverage. They've also had a policy that income before tax levy be positive in all years. And so the first red box.
Say that sentence again, please. Income before.
Tax levy.
So we didn't want our tax levy to subsidize operations. So the income before tax levy is positive in all 5 years, as was demonstrated during the budget. Okay? Then we wanted to see what our net income is, the total income for the port after the tax levy and after paying the GO bond interest. Okay? So you can see it's in the 20s. Down below, you have your debt service for all 5 years, and you'll notice in the lower right-hand corner, our debt service coverage in 2023 is that 2.5 number that I talked about on the summary page. Okay? So it is a wall of numbers. It shows, this includes, going back up to the top, the port revenue, and then the joint venture revenue from the NWSA. And you can see that the joint venture revenue is more, two-thirds or more of our total revenue in each year.
So we clearly, it's nice to see the return on assets creeping back up to a
return on assets level, are creeping back up. That's correct. So that's the profit and loss view of the port's financials from the budget. In the budget document, and we talk about this at the high level during the budget, is what we consider the cash flow. And I've circled three numbers, because it is a wall of number, but I wanted to provide the details so you can all ask questions. But I started in the upper left-hand corner in a red circle, beginning cash and investments. That was that $200 million I had at the summary. Okay, and then down in the right-hand lower corner, there you see a circle of $1.2 million. Okay, and that was required $1.2 million of borrowing to get back up to our minimum cash. And right below that circle of 1.2, you'll see a $68 million. So our minimum cash that's calculated based on our senior reserve, 6 months of operating expenses, our rate stabilization account for our subordinate lien, in 2023, we project will be $68 million. So without that borrowing of $1.2 million, we would have been at 66.8. Add $1.2 million, that gets us to our minimum cash of 68. Okay, and then down at the very bottom, and I point at it, but the pointer doesn't work on the screen, is the 2.5 debt service coverage ratio. So that's my example that we have income available to pay debt service of 2.5 times. Okay, income of 2.5. Okay.
And David, if I could, mm-hmm. if we wanted to, we could lower what we wanted as far as minimum cash, and we wouldn't have to borrow the 1.2.
That's correct. Right, and we'll talk about our borrowing capacity. When we show you our ability to borrow, it's at 2x. If commission said 1.8, 1.6, then we could borrow more if needed. Okay. The rating agencies, it's not codified, it's not a resolution, it's been a policy. They give us some credit for the 2x.
Yeah.
And it's been a factor when you read both S&P and Moody's write-up about the port, about that conservative approach.
Our own self-discipline.
It's self-discipline, that's correct.
Why the big jump in expense between 2022 and 2023?
In the Port of Tacoma, there's some one-time remediation expense that's $10 million that we, I have budgeted on one of our properties, a cleanup. We'll have to see if that actually comes through. And I know it's been a long time. We did talk about that in the budget, but it's a one-time remediation cleanup cost for a property that is in use today. Thank you, Commissioner. That's a good question. So another set of what I would call, you know, a wall of numbers, and let me talk to you about what we've done together in looking at this as a situation where what's changed since we did the budget. I have to find my notes because I don't want to miss anything. I'm sorry. There's the page. So we'll see that when we get to the cash flow, I've started beginning cash with actual 2018 ending cash, which was $20 million higher, cash and investments. So you'll see on the next page, instead of 200 in that upper left-hand corner, it's gonna be 220. We've modified the T5 revenue that was in the budget based on the latest proposal that we've reviewed with you several times and discussed in public. So what's the main driver is that the T5 Phase 2 revenue was eliminated in 2023. So what that means is T5, as we've modeled it and we've discussed, they would take the second phase in 2024. Countering that loss in revenue of T5 is that then we've modeled that T30 stayed at full revenue in 2023. So there is that moving parts of this whole scenario. So the total reduction over the 4 years, 2020 through 2023, is about $16 million. Aaron would have me note that any changes to 2019 were not driven by the T5 strategy, okay? So we kept 2019 exactly the same, because what's been going on in negotiations from back in when we were doing the budget to now didn't impact 2019. But there were some rollovers, and I'll get to that, in expenses that we did include in our model for 2019. So some other changes we talked about, I told you that the capital investment, the capital improvement plan for capitalized projects increased by $10 million. So projects that we thought would end in 2018 are now going to end in 2019. So we've increased by $10 million our CIP for the five-year period. We also rolled our non-completed projects from 2018 to 2019. And that's something we don't normally do, but it increased expenses. So when we're working with project managers, we ask them, you know, you have a project to complete in 2018, it hits the P&L, you gotta get it done. And if it doesn't get done, we, as you know, in the budget put a bucket for unplanned projects. Right, and sometimes those expenses roll into 2019 and it absorbs that project. And in fact, it's pretty much absorbed 2 months in, but as we know, over time, other projects will be delayed and we'll have other expenses reduced.
Yeah.
So we rolled over $2 million for Port of Tacoma's share of 50% from the NWSA and $1.6 million from the port. So that's why you'll see a different expenses in 2019 than the original budget is that rollover, okay? An example of what was rolled over, you know, we worked very hard to demolish and remove the cranes in the North Harbor at T18 and T46 last year, and the engineering team did a great job, but there were some issues. That all rolled into 2019, unfortunately.
It might just,
for the same cost, too.
But, and it's, yes. And it's a good reminder on these things that, remember, all of these projects are individually approved, so they're, you know, the authorizations have already happened on these, and we're an enterprise fund. So we actually operate more like a business in terms of these funding. We don't lose funding, you know, at the end of the year. So it's just important to remind, I think, the public and you know,
that's a bad policy, whether it's public or private. You don't spend the money, you lose it. You should be rewarded for not spending the money.
But that's kind of normal course of business. So I just don't want to highlight that's something
unusual.
It's
normal for public agencies. It's not normal.
Well, no, I meant in terms of how we're handling these rollover projects. And again, they're all individually authorized. So it's you know, appropriately authorized before. We just carry over. If we can't get it done, we carry it over, and it's part of the enterprise fund.
The final modification, and I'll get into this numbers, is that the NWSA membership interest affirmation payment from Port of Seattle to Northwest Seaport Alliance, when that's all said and done, provides $16 million more cash to the Port of Tacoma. And this cash flow I'll show you on the next page reflects that. Okay, that's the $32 million. Our share is 50% of 16.
Yeah. Before you leave the slide,
Okay, go on, Aaron.
Are you going this way?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, go ahead.
So I want to point out, I've highlighted the same two boxes, and you'll see income before tax levy is still positive. And when we get around to doing the 2020 budget, we will have work to do to give us more cushion. I've had many long days during the budget season when John Wolf has looked at numbers like that and said, "I want $2 million." I want much more cushion than that. And so going out a couple of years, he's willing to let me show that in the budget, but that is clearly going to be something we will work on for 2020.
And that's management style every year.
And that management style, yep. So that's the income before tax levy. And then again, net income is very healthy across all 5 years. Underneath that, you see the debt service coverage ratios is above 2x in all years. And return on assets is a little bit less, but it's still healthy, okay? So that's the P&L impact of what we view with the changes from the original budget to where we are today. So I highlighted, I circle things to focus your thoughts on 2019. I circled the 2019, not the $220 million, so that was my mistake. But up at the top, that red circle should be around $220 million. That's that extra $20 million. We are starting 2019. I circled the revenue and expenses because we talked through the changes of what we did compared to budget. It was really the changes from T5 and the expenses rolling over from 2018 to 2019. We added a new line. It's called contribution. Okay, and across the way, you'll see 5.5, 5.5, and 5. That's the timing of the membership affirmation payments that will be made as part of the overall deal. That totals $16 million. That's the $16 million I talked about.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's, so down below, the first, you'll see a circle around 79.8. So that's our ending cash. It's well above minimum. It's $11 million above minimum. Why is it above the minimum? Well, we starting cash is $20 million more. There's some been reductions of cash because of the changes to the plans to T5 and the increased expenses. But we're also attributing the membership affirmation of $16 million. So when you total that all out, it's about $11 million better. So you say to me, well, David, it's $11 million more, but my fully diluted revenue bond debt service is less, right? I've got better cash, but your revenue as modeled in 2023 is lower because we've moved T5 to 2024, and that's revenues. So cash and revenue don't always move the same in these ratios and calculations, okay? So this, in a way, gets you to the same summary page that I had at the very beginning. That gives
you. Claire, could I ask a question before we jump to the summary page? Can you hear me?
Yes, please, go ahead.
On the 2018-23 modified plan of finance cash flow, if, David, if I were to add up your all your debt payments, which include principal and interest for those three lines, that equals to about $40+ million, which equates to the revenue, the net revenue we expect from the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Is the majority of that debt attributable to our maritime terminals?
For Port of Tacoma, the majority of the debt is attributable to our maritime terminals and the purchase of land and other assets in the 2008-2009 timeframe. There's some debt left over from earlier years, such as the debt for PCT's construction in 2004 and the shifts around there.
David, building on that, I'm reflecting back in the...
I didn't hear any of that, sorry, but in any event, what I was interested in is one of the things that we have a net revenue number, and I'm curious, we never really show on our debt the relationship to the two different areas, either our real estate area, which I think provides a substantial cash flow to our activities, while recognizing that debt payments for our maritime terminals is a huge part of our overall debt.
What, Commissioner Meyer, this is John. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. We can get back to you with the actual ratios. I'm not clear whether David has that. I do recall, though, back in the mid-2000s, we were acquiring quite a bit of property over on the East Blair, and we borrowed, I want to say it was
$133 million
during that time.
That was for the NYK project, was it not?
Yes, which was never built. So, a significant portion of our overall debt is related to those land acquisitions that today, you know, we're trying to find other real estate uses for those properties. Yet, the challenge is that we paid a healthy amount of money for those acquisitions.
with an anticipated revenue stream that we never realized because that terminal was never built.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
So I unless you want me to, I this is the same summary that I discussed at the beginning. We did run one more scenario, and I'll walk you through that because...
It might be important to pause here and see, as a commission...
Any other questions? Mr. McCarthy.
We're in debt now, but is it 600 or $602 million?
600, I don't remember the exact amount, but about $600 million, yes.
At the end of 5 years in 2023, under this plan of finance cash flow, how much will we be in debt?
We pull, I'm going to estimate, I will get you the actual number, but we pay about $10 to $15 million in principal a year. Mm-hmm. So assuming no other debt, say it's $10 million a year, we'll be down to 550-ish.
Okay.
And that's my, without waste, spending everyone's time, I will get you that actual number.
I just wanted generally about, so I think you've given me that.
Between geo bonds and it's probably more like 10 a year. I'll confirm afterwards, Commissioner.
I'd like to add that question just a little bit. It's been a while since I looked at that one line. So if we do not borrow any more money, we're paid off about 2038, 2039, something like that.
The bulk of our debt would be done by 2038, 2039. We have this one bullet maturity where the total is due in 2044, and that total is $122 million. Okay, and that's variable rate debt. And we structured that. There was reasons back in 2008 timeframe, which we did that. To counter that, we do a couple of things. And historically, we've put about $33 million in what's called a rate stabilization account. And what that's used for is if variable rates, say rates go up to 10%, we have a spike in interest expense, we can withdraw from that bank in a given year and make sure we still meet bond covenants. And in years where we're doing very well, we put money in, okay? We've looked at it the last couple of years and have decided that $33 million is enough and we haven't put money in right now. Because we have these big capital projects, it didn't seem right to put money in when we probably need the capital over the next 5 years. But if you look at our debt profile, there's quite a drop in the debt payments about 2032, 2033. And in fact, I'm coming back to you on the 21st and you'll see the charts. I don't have all the numbers memorized, but you'll see quite a drop in our debt out in those outer years. And so when that drops, what we'll do is we can start paying off that big maturity.
But David, it might be helpful to understand when you say put it in. You're really talking about calling it.
Could you say, there's a little bit of an echo here. Could you say that again, please?
When David refers to putting money in the rate stabilization account, he's really talking about creating restricted cash.
Yeah.
So when you look at that $68 million,
it goes out of it.
That is part of that. So that's what he's, it's just a separate fund that we put in, but it really is saying is we're restricting cash, and that is part of that $68 million.
Commissioner, do you have another question, sir?
No.
So, Commissioner Petrich accused me of being conservative at the last managing member meeting. Noted that I was sometimes conservative. So, no accusation, I'll take that back. So, I ran a plan of finance where we took out income of $10 million a year. And why 10 million? It's about 15% of our revenue. I didn't tie it to any one terminal or any one business deal. I just said, what if we lost $10 million a year? What if our income went down? And this is a, oops, am I the, sorry, I must have hit. There it is.
Yep.
Thank you. So what did I circle? I circled the beginning cash. I circled the changes in revenues, and you can look at that and compare, but I took out $10 million a year. I still have the contribution from our membership affirmation, but I circled the total borrowing. And you can see that in 2021, to maintain minimum cash, I'd have to borrow about $9 million in 2021 and another $32 million in 2023. And and if I lost $10 million a year in income, and that my debt service coverage for 2023 would drop down to 1.94.
And the other options is we can reduce our capital expenditures.
There are certainly, if we had an event of significant loss, there's other ways we could reduce this. I think that the value in this is to say, even with something catastrophic, we're still well above from a debt servicing.
Yeah.
You know, we might be slightly below your policy level, but well above the minimum bond requirements. And we would allow, and we have enough time to kind of sort out what alternatives it would be to minimize. So it's a really good sensitivity analysis around the impact.
So I want to talk about a couple other issues, and we're going to talk about, Commissioner Johnson, you hit the nail on the head, the prioritization of capital. So one thing we definitely look at is our bond ratings. We have a very strong bond ratings. It's something to be proud of. We're one of the highest rated peer ports in the nation by our rating agencies. And when I look at the bond rating agencies, both S&P and Moody's, their quantitative analysis focuses on revenue and ratios of debt to revenue. And as we know, we're unique because that joint venture revenue line, that's after all the expenses. So that revenue line is really minimized by expenses. And so we communicate always with S&P and Moody's with that fact that our revenue is understated because it's already taken into expenses. When they look at other ports, that's not the situation. So with increased non-cash depreciation lowering the port's revenue from the alliance, the Port of Tacoma shows a five-year decrease in revenue, right? As we're adding capital expenses, the income, the revenue that we report from the alliance is going down. And so we just have to keep in mind and make sure that the rating agencies understand that and that you understand it. In fact, Darren Aracocki, our director of accounting, and I and my team are working on a new report which will show you the cash revenue from the alliance and how it's trending, and then the impact separate from the depreciation from the alliance. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a GAAP report, but it will be a report that we're going to provide.
Good indicator.
Right. Yeah, well, it's an indicator.
And it's similar to the Port of Seattle does report their income before depreciation, so it's something that the Port of Seattle commissioners are accustomed to looking at.
Good news, we will be meeting with Moody's here on April 11th as a greater rating agency. Both our rating agencies very much know the port business, and I've provided to both of all of you the write-ups from Moody's and S&P, but we'll have a chance to meet with them again on the 11th, so we're happy to meet with them. So then I had provided to you a package of prioritization of capital projects, okay, and capital investment projects, and they can be both expensed and capitalized, but it's all the big projects that Dakota and his team, the Seattle team, are managing that require a program manager to go build things and keep the port either making new revenue, keeping the infrastructure in place, or keeping existing revenue. And so we do normally categorize as a revenue renewal. So you've got a current term customer. If you don't put a roof on their building, you're going to lose that revenue. We have new revenue, and the classic example is T5. And then we have infrastructure, such as your investments you've authorized into SR 167. In preparation for this meeting, we categorized other ways, whether it was a lease commitment, something in the documents that we owe the customer, or we'd have to change the agreement and potentially lose revenue.
A have to versus the optional.
Right. And each of these could go into multiple categories. It's very subjective. We had to categorize it as one of the four, though many of them are three out of the four, right? So we regulatory required. So you have and I wish Jason was here, he's unavailable unfortunately, but an agreed order or some kind of thing telling us we got to do this, or it's the law, we get to do the stormwater. We have policy issues. Commission has said clean trucks. Commission has said, or we'll make a decision on T5. We label T5 right now as a policy decision. There's no lease in place. You make the decision to build it, and then it becomes a lease commitment. And then what we call discretionary. Things that we want to do, we're not required. Maybe it will cause more revenue, but maybe not. And we'll get to those in this presentation, which was a shortened list that we gave you. So the next page that I have, we filtered out the NWSA discretionary. And it totals about 50 million, or excuse me, The total five-year CIP expense and capitalized is over $500 million. And remember, we only pay half of that, so don't get concerned. We're paying 254 of that $508 million. Discretionary projects, excluding T5, because that's your decision, is $37 million, and I just arbitrarily chose the top 10. And we can certainly look at this list, and you could look at what we categorized and whether you agree or disagree, and we sent you this list before the meeting of how we categorized. But a lot of what's in here is where we put money in case of the unexpected capital project where we have to, we have an opportunity to build something or an expense, like a roof is leaking and we gotta replace that roof. An example of a discretionary right now is the what fender system. The what fender system is good for the current size ships. What if they want to bring new ships and the bigger ships in, we're going to have to make a decision whether to go replace that fender or not. It may not result in more revenue, but it will certainly help our customer, right? If a new fender is placed. So that would be a discretionary decision. Okay. Whether to remove the old crane outside on the East Sitcom is a discretionary issue. There's four, the oldest crane up at TCT is ready for disposal. We have $1 million to remove it. That could be a discretionary item where we choose to keep it in place.
Well, that could wait a couple of years.
It could, but the maintenance team then, because it's still in place, goes and make sure it's safe, and they have certain requirements as long as it's in place. Now, it's probably smaller dollars, but if you wanted to remove $1 million from the capital improvement plan, there would be one thing. Okay.
So it's a good reminder with the Alliance, the bulk of the next 5 years is in that plan is the North Harbor redevelopment. And then beyond that, there are really a lot of maintenance, you know, major maintenance repairs, things that we would look at refurbishing or taking cranes out. But the significant amount of that capital is really around the reinvestment in Terminal 5.
We performed the same discretionary list, and again, you have the full list categorized by lease commitment, regulatory policy, or discretionary for the Port of Tacoma. And again, most of our discretionary that we have are things related to what we put in the budget to be conservative. There's certainly the decision whether or not the Port of Tacoma wants to develop Thorn Road in preparation for leasing that out. That's the biggest probably discretionary policy decision that you have on this list. But there's other items as noted on the full list that we gave you. Okay. Are there any questions, or would you like me to move on? We can certainly, Dakota's here to answer, and I'll do my best to answer any questions on any particular specific projects within the list.
Yeah,
and I want to thank Dakota and the engineering team and everyone who helped us prioritize these lists.
I'm trying to understand these two lists. So the top 10 list is on each of those diagrams, is that top 10 of discretionary?
Of just discretionary, yes, sir.
And
so in the example, if I took the Northwest Seaport Alliance and I listed the top 10, the first two are the phase one and phase two of T5, totaling $350 million. Then we've got the new cranes at Pier 4, totaling $42 million. That's number three. Our unallocated capital investments of $15 million. So we go from 117, 118, 42, and then we drop all the way down to 15. That $15 million NWSA unallocated capital improvements, I put $3 million a year in the capital improvement plan for unexpected projects. Over 5 years, that's 15. That's the biggest discretionary project, but it's the fourth in line in total projects. And then I could go the rest. The T5 stormwater upgrade is about $15 million. T46 dock rehabilitation is about $13 million, but that's grant funded. So if you chose to end it, then there would be an impact on grants. We have the.
So in your packet, you have the full list of each of those. So we just highlighted on this slide, kind of the top 10 of the discretionary, the things that, that might have the most flexibility to make a choice.
I got a question. It appears that GCP, the entry control point relocation, same amount is listed both at Port Discretionary and Northwest Seaboard Alliance Discretionary.
Okay, I'll have to go look at that if I may have.
They're on.
I see it, okay.
We had a conversation about that one. It was kind of moving back and forth, and we're not even, and again, all these projects come forward for authorization before they're done. This is just we were, how we were planning, because some of these are, is it specific for the Alliance? Is it specific for the Gateway? And so there's a few that we kind of, from a planning perspective, kind of crossover.
And roadway infrastructure funding, is that, that's all internal, correct? Sort of internal to the port?
Or if we contribute $2 million to the City of Fife for the.
Okay.
That's where we put money in as, to give the commission that, this, the ability to make a contribution to help roads.
They're all optional.
That would be optional unless you have a signed agreement. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Commissioner. I'll check on that one. So the last slide that I have as part of the presentation is just an example of how we do come up with our minimum cash. And I want to talk about that. So Port of Tacoma, 6 months operating expenses is only $10 million, right? Because a lot of our expenses get charged to the Alliance. We prorated revenue bond payments is at least 1/12 of our, so 1 month's worth of payment would be our minimum for both the revenue bonds and the GO bonds. Then we have our senior reserve and our subordinate reserve, and between those two, it's $46 million. Okay. And then we, because of, we always want to pay our industrial insurance, we have a reserve of $400,000 for industrial insurance, and then another $1 million for our self-insurance reserve for all the other insurance that we have. So that's a total of $61 million. On top of that, the Northwest Seaport Alliance has working capital of $50 million. So our half is, it's 51, is half of 51 is 25.5. So in reality, our minimum cash between the two organizations is about $86 million. Okay. The port's portion of it.
Right.
Okay.
David, could I ask a question?
Sure.
David?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, on your previous slide, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit slow on this, but on the previous slide, you indicated Port of Tacoma's five-year capital improvement program is $185 million.
Yes, sir.
And then I look at the previous slides where you, on your cash flows, I could only get capital spending for planned projects for the Port of Tacoma somewhere around $128 to $129 million. What's the difference between the lines on the previous slides versus this $185 million?
It's the expense projects show up in expense, yeah. Not capital.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Okay, got it.
Yes, sir.
Got
good
it.
Question, good eye, but that's, it's how you categorize some of our capital investment plan as capital, and it's all right on that capital line. The other during budget, we put it in the expense because it hits the P&L, but they're both projects that we include on the CIP, and I know that's sometimes confusing. So great question, Commissioner.
Thank you.
So at that point, I don't think I have any other slides, but I'm certainly available to ask questions, and Aaron and I or anyone can talk about the projects, the list.
Sure. I guess I was looking at this big picture, the whole discussion about whether we're going to invest in Terminal 5 and spend $150 million, and if we're doing that, what other project opportunities are we perhaps missing, or things that we've prioritized or would prioritize over that, or even not even over that, but separate and apart from that, some kind of prioritization of our projects, and for the managing members to make that decision. What's a priority in terms of development that we'd like to see happen. So how do we use what you've given us today to formulate decisions on priorities? Because it looks like you've listed SIP projects based on how much they cost, decreasing amounts.
Yes, sir. That's how I did it.
Without any reference to some degree of prioritization. So from a big picture and trying to decide, okay, $150 million in Terminal 5 is more sense than doing something else, for example, with the Port of Tacoma share of the money that will go to the project alone. So I'm trying to figure out how to take what information you have and see how to plug in where we make decisions on priorities.
So Commissioner McCarthy, what I would share with you is what we've been able to present is at least the five-year view for both the home port and the Northwest Seaport Alliance that we built last fall. If we overlay this decision based on the information we had in the budget, this would say that the Port of Tacoma has the capacity to do everything it planned in the next 5 years in the budget, including the redevelopment of Terminal 5. What isn't here is, are there projects outside of what we budgeted that the commission may have an interest in doing that we don't have visibility to? So this really, the summary is, this says you don't necessarily have to make a choice if you want to do everything that's presented in the budget. And we've anticipated that you have the capacity as a port to do that.
So the list at the back, does that include every project that's in the budget or?
Yes.
So all of those things you're suggesting?
Yes.
And is there a list of other projects that are not in the budget that have been discussed? Or?
When we do the budget for the capital investment plan and we work through management with it, there are projects that we include in this list that we budget for. There are other projects that we have estimates for, but and then are not presented to the commission because the decision is not that they're not projects necessarily we want to do or have to do at this time, but then we can size. So we can get that list to you of what was not included in the budget, but it's relatively short. I don't know of any big investments like a new terminal for a new customer somewhere.
I mean, without going through this line by line, let's take, for example, two warehouses that we're talking about that has the freezer facility. That's the what's the name of that?
PCC property? Logistics.
PCC property. If the port wanted to prioritize building, putting the roofs, updating the buildings, the whatever the amount is, and I think we know it's over $10 million, is that project on this laundry list or not?
No, because that wasn't budgeted. When we did the budget, talking about that specifically, we looked at the financials, and given the cost to do the rebuilding and the return, we didn't include it in the budget, but we brought it to you guys for the discussion of the policy decision.
But what I'm getting at is how do other than just suggesting a piece of property, how do we develop a decision-making system so that we're deciding that's what we want to invest in over and above or
don't you bring a project like that up? Because a project like that can come up anytime. You find something that I want to do, and then you take a look at the returns on that investment. And if you decide to spend $10, $12 million on Plan A, you just take it from someplace else and don't do D.
That's typically how we've managed that issue. Let me give another example that we recently visited about. There was a piece of property that became available down here in the tide flat, pretty significant piece of property, and it wasn't in the budget yet. We thought, gosh, that's something that the Port of Tacoma Commission should have visibility to and make a policy decision on. And so we brought that conversation forward. We decided to not lean into it.
Right.
I hear your question, Commissioner. I'm trying to think of how best to answer it because there are many things that we can't see today that are around the corner tomorrow. And so part of the answer is making sure we have some headroom so that when those opportunities come, and we know they will, we just don't know what they look like, that we have the flexibility to lean into them when we choose to. There are the project lists that David's talking about. We can get it to you. I can't recall what those projects look like. My sense about those is they're ideas that staff come up with, like, hey, what if we were to do this? And they're not oftentimes fully developed ideas, so they need more work. But we can get you that list. I would say if I were to look forward for the Port of Tacoma, the kinds of things that I can imagine that aren't in the five-year plan of finance are, you know, we talk about, well, gosh, where's the next Frederickson, as an example? Where's that next large parcel of property, industrial zone property, let's say, that is in the county that we might want to invest in? That would be something I would imagine if it were out there and if the commission were interested in that kind of investment. That's something that is not in the budget. I think about the Wheeler-Osgood property, mm-hmm. another good example where if we decided, the port decided to develop that on its own rather than lean into a private sector investment, that's not in the budget. And so we'd have to find capital for that. If we decided to repurpose this area, and we've talked conceptually about that, and we wanted to do that ourselves, that's not in the in the budget. So I would say, from a management standpoint anyway, having some flexibility and some headroom to respond to those opportunities is important.
Those are really good suggestions, for example. And I guess what I'm kind of getting at is, you're, as an administration, as a staff, you see this every day, you hear the conversations in the community, in the industry, you know, why aren't you involved in industry? Why aren't you involved in Wheeler-Osgood?
Yeah.
Some of the other ones you mentioned. Instead of bringing to the commission, here's the five-year things that we want to do. I mean, if you were to bring to the commission the things that you think are important, but four or five of those other things, you know, development of another Frederickson, Wheeler-Osgood. Now, commission, managing members, you know what we think we should do. Here's some other big things we're hearing about. What do you think? What's your priority? What would you rather spend $30 million on? A piece of property near the Puyallup River, or would you rather spend it on an industrial facility out in the Gig Harbor area?
Right.
So we kind of weighed in on which is the most important to us.
Yeah, I hear
but
you.
Isn't that also true? Because we've all heard about those things over the years, all those what ifs. And let's just take project B. If we're in project A, there's nothing wrong with project B waiting 2 years. It's a matter of when you take that on. You might not be able to take on a Frederickson during the T5 rebuild, but when it's done, you can, because that capital will be recouped with the income coming back from that project. So the biggest problem with any major project, whether it be at Port of Tacoma or the Northwest Seaport Alliance, is you don't get a return on that capital until the darn thing's done. And that could be it could be 2 months or it could be 5 years. It's just like T3 and T4 took, I forgot how long it took to get that job all done, but it was used during the process.
So if I could direct you to page 12, I think it might be helpful to notice there's three lines on page 12 that add up to.
Before you do that, I just want one point, John. I think my biggest takeaway from this is that as a commission, we're really not having a dialogue as to what we think are the most important projects to be looking at, unless it's brought as part of the five-year plan what the staff has recommended. That's my takeaway. In the year and a half I've been here, I don't know we've had a formal conversation as to another Frederickson is more important to me than this. And so I'd like to see the process expanded.
I think we have had those discussions, John, and part of it is because
I may hear something, Don or Claire or you, whatever, and we'll talk among ourselves or bring it up or something. I think the thing that I look at is how we prioritize and move forward, and then how that may change based on new possibilities. A perfect example, in my viewpoint, would be we're going to have to relocate our administration building at some time.
Right.
Okay, where do we put that on the level? What kind of cost is that? And how do we prioritize that compared to other things? So I don't disagree with you as far as what we should be bringing to as an informal conversation about what we foresee in the next five, six, whatever years there is. It's being realistic and saying, okay, what can we do? And being able to have the capital to do that.
And the, add on, you take a look, because I agree, it's been a long time since John's been here, but over, in my years we've been here, we've looked at everything. We've looked at the returns on the big facility out in the Puyallup area, and the returns on that weren't exciting. So how long can you, that latent capital was there for a long time. So you talk about some of these things, and before you start putting a lot of work into them, you've got to come up with a return. And because if the return looks zero, then why would you put thousands of hours into trying to develop a project?
And a perfect
somebody always wants your money, but doesn't necessarily return money to us.
And a perfect example of that was an informal talk about the Sumner Golf Course.
Yeah.
That was, okay, what if we develop that into maybe a
rail,
rail yard, yeah. Something like that. And we realized what kind of capital that would be involved, the politics, I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just another idea that was.
You always have to ask yourself, what is my business? What is my, you know, when I was in business, line of board was my business. Other things made more money sometimes than line of board, but I couldn't keep the paper machines busy on that small stuff that had high returns. I had to make line of board whether I liked it or not. So it's a
big. But let me just share, built into your five-year CIP is $27.5 million that is either allocated for land acquisitions or other things that have yet to be identified. So we too try to build some capacity into your investment planning to allow for those. And then oftentimes things that come forward, again, if they come with their own revenue source, that improves the picture. And so, you know, you have to factor that in. You may have to put out some capital, but if the payback's quickly, then it may be self-funding. And that's on a case-by-case basis. The other thing too, I think as we debated as a commission prior to Commissioner McCarthy starting was, when do we update our strategic plan? And I think that many of the things you're talking about, I think will really come forward with that strategic plan update once the new executive director is on board.
Which will be one of the early things that we begin to work on.
That also has to be a it can't just be a plan of dreams, it has to be funded.
Right. Are there any additional questions? Commissioner Meyer, do you have any other thoughts?
He went in the water.
He must be. Yeah.
Well, one comment, Commissioner Meyer. You know, his call in today was very clear. I mean, it's the best. It's the best clarity I've had since I've been here for a call in. So, is it just a typical phone, or did we improve our system?
So everyone needs to go to Hawaii to call in.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought about that's a good idea.
I think we might be able to work with that.
But it was very good. I thought it was quite clear.
Yeah, that was great.
It was terrible when you called.
John brought up, and that maybe we need to explore a little bit more, is being together informally and talking about, okay, what can we all individually look at and see in the next 5 years or 7 years or 8 years that maybe is not on our radar right now?
You know, I like that idea, but I go back because I've done this all my life. People come out of the woods, have all kinds of things, and I got $100. Yeah. I would like to have hair. I don't think and, you know, you come up with all these things you like to do, and there's no pencil, and there's no money to do it. And so I think it's nice to get together and talk about these things. It makes for a great afternoon, but it doesn't really provide much reality.
Yeah, but it does do something, in my mind it does anyhow. It lets me know, well, that I can be eliminated now. I can no longer have a baseball field and a golf course on board property.
I mean, you should be able to do that without having a meeting.
I mean, I would... if I were going to prioritize, I would say in the next 5 years, I'd like to put a Wheeler Osgood bucket. I think we're going to do something in the next 5 years. I'd like to see, as I mentioned during our discussion on the budget, I'd like to see our debt go down more than you plan. I'd like to see us having our bucket money to do things such as improve a couple of warehouses, for example. So in terms of priorities, you know, without going through your full list here to see which ones I'd block off, I mean, I would have a priority that would include those. Now, having just said that now, it doesn't mean it's going to show up in your list next year, and I guess that's
why. I think it would, though, if you mentioned that and you said a 10% return.
Pardon me, Doug?
I think if you said that, it's going to cost $15 million, and I think it's going to have a 10, 15% return. I think you'd make the list. Because when we talk about things, we don't look at the capital side, and we don't look at the return. And I've always found out, if I had a good return, I always had a large audience.
Well, if you set aside a bucket and with the understanding that to take money out of that bucket, you were going to get a return of a certain amount, at least.
No, I agree. You just have to say, okay, I'd set the money aside. I want to make 10% on X, and here's what's going
to
talk.
I would point to your decision to invest in the auto terminal.
Yeah.
It was not in the budget. It offered an adequate return. We were able to fund it. It wasn't on anyone's radar, and we got it done. I will also tell you that as part of the budget process,
which one?
Auto facility.
Okay, thank you.
But during the budget process, and I, Commissioner, I think you're getting a strategic list versus a tactical list. So I'll talk at least during the budget process. We meet with engineers to find the projects that need to be done to fix things.
Hello? Claire?
We work with the commercial.
Claire?
Yes. We're here.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Hey,
we're
just,
in the midst
just
of
a couple of thoughts, and I'm sorry to bother you being on the phone here, but you know, I've always been concerned about the amount that's been budgeted for land acquisition, the $5 million for 5 years, and I'm not thinking about Fredericton. I'm thinking about my priorities as around parcels that are very close to our maritime terminals that need to be purchased in order to make our maritime terminals work better or for us to control our own destiny. I can give you a classic example of the South Intermodal Yard. So I've talked about that since I've been a commissioner, and it does have a rate of return. So my problem all along has been on land acquisitions, not having enough in that category. The other part is that I really appreciate the fact that David did some modeling for, you know, impact on the revenue side. I think that's a great way for sensitivity analysis. But I will say one other thing about the categories that David alluded to. There's one $45 million project sitting out there that what happens if we're obligated to do it and it occurs in 2021? And that's a dredging of the Blair for the tribe. So I'm just saying, I just see this budget as inadequate for land acquisitions, and I'm just concerned about that. And I do think that when it comes time to put that project listing together, one of the things that's missing is that we seem to not have any strict adherence to a rate of return methodology, and so it leads you to kind of wonder what our decision mechanism really is for what is not input in the budget versus what stays in the budget. So those are my comments for what they're worth. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, and thank you. And David, if you could continue also.
Well, what I was saying is we work with commercial, and they come up and we present ideas, and what happens is a small team vets the ideas, and if it's worth moving forward, then a bigger team comes together, we put a financial analysis, we get engineering to do cost estimates, and then if it meets requirements, such as if it's a pure business decision, then it went during the budget process, we're reviewing it to John and staff, and then we bring it to you. So there is that tactical level of where our engineers, our port staff, our commercial team are coming up with the things that we need to do to grow and keep revenue, okay? So that was the end of my comment there. In terms of Commissioner Meyer, comment, the $45 million capital dredge is in the budget, it's just at the end. And so that makes a little bit different than if it moved forward. But we have capacity in bonds to go borrow. And the example of land purchases is, yes, if Scott Francis does a good job identifying properties. And if you remember going back two or three years, we had a $40 million land purchase in the budget.
We did.
that we did not execute on. We had the revenue. It was strategic, but the decision was made not to do it. So things ebb and flow in terms of what's in and out, okay? But I do understand the difference between strategic and tactical. And so my process during the budget is much more tactical. The strategic decision of where you want to be in 10 years, I think, is what Aaron mentioned, is the strategic plan when you have the new executive director, and then we move forward. Thank you.
I want to thank you very, very much. Are there any other additional questions or comments? I think you've done a really thorough and easy to understand way for us to deal with the budgets and the issues, and I really thank you for that. And you bring us to our next item right now. At this time, I would like to recess into executive session. We have 1 second. We have something very exciting to deal with in executive sessions today. It is our opportunity to evaluate the applicants for public employment pursuant to RCW 42.30.110 (1)(g). You never got that detail before. All right, no decisions will be made or votes taken in our executive session, and no action is anticipated because of the executive session. It is expected to last for 90 minutes with extensions possible. So thank you again very, very much for the study session, for the information that you presented to us. It's very helpful. Thank you.